Australia, how are you going? How are you going? Are you right? I hope so. This is NBA Australia. It's Monday. Oh, geez. Garfield vibes, I'll tell you that much. March 4. I'm your host, James Clements. I do a lot of things. AFL Today Show, Fox Sports Lab NBA, a bunch of other stuff that'll be happening. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. Just here to hang out. Give the lowdown on all things NBA with a bit of Australia. That's what we do here, isn't it? Hey, did you see that LeBron scored 40,000 points? Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll talk about that today. We'll talk about the Boston Massacre. We've got weekend winners and losers. Shake Milton. Just all the good stuff. So we'll cover all that. Weekend winners and losers. The NBA Australia game wraps. We've got That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Sputter the Night, Better than Lonzo Ball. We've got Dickhead of the Weekend. We've got some Yeah Nasty, Unpopular Opinion of the Day in Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There is also an Andrew Gaze Great Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. And we could even do a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, because we've got one about Cam Airbairstow, a.k.a. Airstow, and his final ever NBA game. We'll preview the six games for tomorrow as well, and then we'll finish up with a brand new Delhi review, because why not? Well, I said I would, so I'm just going to do it, bro. That's how it works. Right, without further ado, let's get into it. Well, episode 1045. He's now turned into Rudy Gobert. Episode 1045 NBA Australia. Let's go.
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Ah, you better. Tell you what, had some good Shaq moments over the weekend. But really, you better watch out for the Boston Celtics attack if you're the Warriors. Oh boy, that was a beatdown and a half. Even Steve Kerr after the game was like, yep, well, we almost had him. That's pretty funny. All right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show. I believe it's with the daily whip around. There you go. It's a whip around, isn't it? That's right. Weird weekend. Lakers-Denver was fun. Rusty Westbrook broke his hand. So we've got teams out there that are just like missing dudes left, right, and center. And my answer to all of them is go sign Patty Mills. Seriously. The Sixers waived Kenny Lofton. Rusty Westbrook broke his hand. Scotty Barnes has a fracture in the third metacarpal bone of his left hand as well. He's out indefinitely. To that, I all say, go get Patty. Go get him. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills. Let's do it. But unfortunately, no one's picked up Patty Mills yet. Somebody did pick up Shake Milton, as I mentioned. He's apparently going to lead the news bit. Waved by Detroit, wasn't it? And then gets picked up by the Knickerbockers of New York City, which is good. Like, it makes a little bit of sense. Obviously, they traded a bit of depth to go get the OG Anunoby. But also, they've just lost a bunch of dudes. Now, they've also lost Jalen Brunson, to a non-contact knee injury today. The weirdest part is, it seems like Tibbs saying that Brunson bumped knees and medical staff said that the x-rays have come back negative. So that might be the best bit of news Knicks fans have gotten in about, I don't know, 24 years? When did you make the finals? 99? The other good news, well, because I'm not even going to count the Melo trade, because it's like you gave up a bunch of stuff for a dude that you could have signed outright that offseason. Oh, but maybe Brooklyn would have signed him. So? You didn't win anything anyway. But still, it means that Mook Morris is still out there. Patty Thrills. Patty Mills obviously still out there. And Shake Milton stepping in for the Knicks. Brunson hopefully is not out too long. But that sucked. It really did. Brunson goes down with that non-contact knee injury, and you're like, oh, God. The Knicks just can't cop a break this year between Randall, OG, everybody. Mitch Robinson, the other Mitch Robinson. In terms of some other injury news, Booker was out today against the Thunder. That was more like, I think, a bit of a Devin Booker ankle injury kind of vibe where it's like, ah, sweet. So now we're just going to go with, like, no dudes ever. KD's like, why did I leave Brooklyn? Brad Beal's just like, oh, hello, I always get injured. Devin Booker's like, ah, yeah, remember how I always get injured too? And Kevin Durant's just like, God damn it, man. What am I doing? Why did I even leave Golden State? And many would go, yes, why did you, Kevin? And he'd be like, because I'm a snake. But Devin Booker hurt his ankle against Houston. What was that? Yesterday, day before. And it looked pretty tough. So, look, hopefully he's okay, but still very, very brutal. It's nice to see Amari Stoudemire as well get put into the Ring of Honor for the Suns. I loved, loved, loved those Nash Amari Suns. They were, like, seriously, if you are of my vintage, right? So we've got a lot of fantastic 90s basketball. And if you don't like the Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
Like me. To be honest, all the Celtics. Like the Shaq Kobe Lakers, the Duncan Spurs, the Pistons, the mid-thousands Pistons. The Nash Suns, by the time he left Dirk. Like, even the Shaq Miami teams, the Dallas teams that after Nash left, like those Suns, Nash, Amari teams were fucking fantastic. And what a fun ride it was. They were one anything, but I don't know, it all came down to that bloody weird, was it the Meta World Peace offensive rebound off a Kobe miss? That was a pass, man. Still, weird times. Good on Amari. Nice to see him honored. Speaking of honoring, Allen Iverson. That's right, AI. They're like, oh, we're going to build him a statue. And it's like, wait a minute. I've fallen for this before, Philadelphia. It's on the Legends Walk. Oh, geez, Jim, is that at their stadium? No. It's in their training complex, which is across the river in New Jersey. It's not even in the same state. So they've got Chuck Barkley, Will Chamberlain, Dr. J, Mo Cheeks, Moses Malone, Billy Cunningham, Hal Greer, Bobby Jones, and Dolph Shades there. And it's obviously kind of nice. He's already had the jersey retired, all that sort of stuff. But really, I mean, it is a bit tough to go, all right, we're going to give you a statue, Allen Iverson. He's like, well, I didn't win a title here. It's like, he did make a finals, but still. Anyway, it's kind of like a bit of a, like, it's not quite the Rocky statue, you know what I'm saying? Philly's a weird, fun town. I don't know if you've been there, but it is kind of cool, kind of fun, kind of weird. It's definitely got a vibe to it. Same as Boston, same as New York, but just a bit wonky. Right, quickly on the Boston Massacre, though. What a game today. The Celtics put another 50-point win on the board. They became the first NBA team in history to have three 50-point wins in the same season. That's pretty good. That's historic. It's pretty crazy. And the way they did it was just chaos. A 61-17 run to close out a half is just stupid. The Boston Massacre. Watch out. They were just knocking in threes for fun. It was pretty chaos. Pour one out for the Golden State Warriors in Boston. All right. Before we do some weekend winners and losers, let's fly through some game reps from the weekend. The Cavs, that's right.
Cleveland.
Held off the Pistons 110-100 back on Saturday. Evan Mobley. Playing very nicely. He also got demolished today, but still. The Cavs were not good today when they lost to the Knicks. We'll get to that in a second, but at least they won that one. The Hornets lost in Philly 114-121. Tobias Harris, he's like, who are we playing? They're like, Charlotte. Tobias is like, all right, 31 points. Bang. A game that no one will remember. And he's like, I've got you guys. Good win, though. Anytime the Sixers can get a win, sans Embiid, happy days. They did that again today. It was hilarious because it was Dallas on the other side. Speaking of which, Dallas, boom, they got straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
By the Celtics, 138-110. Tatum went off. Luka Doncic had the 37, 12, and 11. It was not even close to being enough as Kyrie Irving's bad karma completely outstrips that, and the Celtics absolutely whomped him in the fourth quarter and ran away with it, 36-20 in that fourth. Tatum was really good, but a lot of this was sort of like, all right, how many ways can we sort of, I think in the preview, right, you're like, a lot of dudes used to play for the other team in this one. They don't even have Grant Williams anymore, but I don't know, Dallas and Boston have always been slightly connected in my brain. just because, I don't know, growing up, they were two of my favourite teams. You know, that's how it goes. Josh Green had a shocker. Dante Exum had a shocker. And Dallas lost. There's no coinkydink there. That's how it goes. The Extreme Zinger Meal.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
Gave him a lot against his old team as well. And off they went. They went bang. Smashed it. Whereas Kyrie, 9-23. Brutal. That's what happens. You step on lucky. I think he's now 1-10 against the Celtics since or something. So, yeah, not great, bro. Not great. What are you doing, Kyrie, you idiot? What are you doing? He's like, oh, man, you can't tell me nothing, man. Like, you know, it's just a bit, what's going on, bro? I mean, that's how I'm feeling at the moment. Just work sucks, and it's just like, this is brutal. Absolute, like, Kyrie Irving in Boston vibes. Like, just like, this is just... not great from any sort of angle. So, yeah, it's awesome. Anyways, 0-5 in Boston overall. He's 1-10 against Boston since he stomped on Lucky. Great job, Kyrie. Great job. What else? We had other games. We had the Warriors beat the Raptors 121-05. That was the game where they lost Scoob, obviously. Poor one out for the Raptors. Pack up, boys. You are done. The Blazers beat the Grizzlies 122-92. Pretty handily. Handily. As I mentioned, I figured that was my tip on Friday's show, that they'd win that one and then turn around and the Grizzlies would sneak out a win in the second one. Didn't happen that way, but either way. Kings beat the Wolves in a really, really fun game, 124-120. It took a million hours to finish this game in the overtime, 9-5, but they got there in the end because Malik Monk went absolutely sick. He had 39 points off the bench. Your sixth man of the year, question mark? Probably. Pelicans absolutely hammered the Pacers, 129-102. Spindles Ingram at 34-8-6, crushed it. The Bucks smashed the Bulls 113-97 because the Bulls stink. That was an absolute just smasher rating too.
He got straight killed.
Giannis had 46-16-6. Just what are you doing, bro? And the Clippers just manhandled the Wizards because they're horrible, 141-15. We had the six-game slate on Saturday. I think it was six. Six games on Saturday. Something like that, five maybe. The Hawks lost another game to the Nets. Aha, Mikal Bridges. I think I even mentioned this on Friday's show. It was probably the game where he pop off. He did. He had 38. It was pretty bloody good. And DeJounte Murray got kicked out for sitting on the bench and ignoring Tony Brothers. He got a tech foul. Didn't get kicked out. So what is going on here? The Heat held off the Jazz, 126-120. A lot of Jimmy Butler down the stretch in this one, 37-7. Had to hold them off. It was a really fun game, this one. I mean, not great, because I think the Heat were 6.5-point favorites, and I may have had a bit of a couple of shekels on the Miami Heat there. The Blazers 107-100 in overtime against the Grizzlies. Anthony Penny Simons with 37-7. Some more games like that. Thank you, Penny. And then the Nuggets Lakers. This game was an absolute burn burner because the Lakers came flying back into it after being down a little bit, and the Nuggets just went kapow. You had the added sort of bonus of like LeBron scoring, what, his 40,000th point. And everyone's like off their head. Lakers came roaring back in the game. And then the Nuggets went, oh, that is very interesting, very fun. But go away. 35-10-7 for the Joker. LeBron James, 26-9. It was a wild game. It was a very fun game. And it had a lot going on. It's also one of those ones where you're like, yeah. Hey, Anthony Davis, remember how you were meant to be good, bro? And he's like, yeah, I'm really good. It's like, can you do it against the Nuggets? He's like, no. 17-11 with three blocks. They needed Rui for 23 points. Austin Reeves had 19. 17 for D'Lo, but 24 for Jam and Jamal Murray after tweaking his ankle the day before. MPJ had the perfect game. I'll talk about him in a second, but 25-10-4 without missing a shot was pretty bloody good. And then you had the Rockets beating the Suns in an absolute barn burner as well. Yeah, Jalen Green go off at 34 points. Do you think just Jalen Green's like, this is great. No one cares about my team anymore. Now I can shine. I didn't drop him in fantasy. I'm just saying. I came so close so many times. 34-9. Good on him. The Suns just nothing. I mean, without Booker, and you're like, Oh, Lord. Oh, this is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
Like, Fred VanVleet hit six threes in that game, and so did Jalen Green. And you're like, cool. And the Suns were still just sort of hanging around. It was bizarre. But Brad Beal, 20 minutes in that game. Booker, the tweaked ankle at the end, you're like, oh, not great. Not great. He still had, what was it, 24-5. The five turnovers as well did our man Book. That's how it goes sometimes. It gets a bit rough. I tell you what. But either way, we then had a chaos day today where the Sixers beat the Mavs. 121-16, hilarious gear. Tobias Harris goes bang again, 28 points. Luka had the 38, 11, and 10. It did not matter, Yoshi. It did not matter because the Sixers without Embiid, like, this is a team that the Mavs have to beat. They did not. It's kind of funny. Mavs, gonna Mavs. Like, this is a game that you cannot lose. They don't have Embiid. What are you doing, you morons? You absolutely cooked it. This is, like, we'll talk about this in weekend winners and losers, but oish. Tyrese Maxey rolls. The Mavs came flying back, and they just didn't have enough, though. The Celtics absolutely smashed the Warriors, as mentioned, in the Boston Massacre, 140-88. Absolutely routed them. What was it? It was like 82-38 or whatever it was at the half, and you're like, oh, geez. That's not great. It was crazy. It's like tied 21-all as well. So they just ripped off, what, a 21-1 run to close out that quarter. 23-1 run to close out the first quarter and 61-17 to close out the half. Just absolutely brutalized them. Pretty funny, though. I'll tell you that much. Right. That's a tough one. We'll talk about the Celtics more later. They did good. The Clippers beat Minnesota in hilarious fashion where the Wolves are like, how many points do we need to tie it up? 3. Oh, we better score 2 then. And they completely cooked it, ran out the clock, and yeah, that was dumb. Great job, Minnesota. The Clippers gave you an opening. This was an absolute rock fight of a game. 89-88, as you could tell. Neither team shooting 40%, basically. It was gross. Absolutely gross. Like, Ant-Man had 27, Kawhi. Had the 32, but yeesh. Palabancaro, demolisher out of the Pistons, 113-91 with the Magic Men. The Raptors held off the Hornets, 111-106. Closer than you expected without Scoob. Emmanuel Quickley was good, 22-11. Spindles Miller had the 26-10. He's coming along very nicely. Just imagine if LaMelo Ball hadn't been run into the ground by his psychotic dad and will never be a very good NBA player because he can't stay on the bloody court. The Knickerbockers, that's right, of New York City, they took care of the Cleveland Cavaliers. This game was stupid. You had it all going on. You had Josh Hart versus Donnie Mitchell. Jalen Brunson goes out really early, and the Knicks fight and fight and fight. Hart has a triple-double. 13 points, 19 rebounds, and 10 assists. Ridiculous. And Cleveland could never get it going. It was like, if you'd bet on Cleveland, were barracking for Cleveland, it was just embarrassing. They were just horrible. 7-14 for Garland. You had no Donnie Mitchell. He gets his chain tugged on by Josh Hart. Mobley was handy with the 13-13-6, but ugh. Tough one. Especially against a team that lost its best player in the first minute and didn't have OG or Julius Randle. It's like, just brutal. Absolutely brutal. 107-98. Then we had the Pacers get beaten by Wembanyama. Oh, also the Spurs were there too. 117-105. Wembanyama at 31-12-6. He was unreal. The Pacers were just... They do chuck out these stinkers every so often. I'm going to talk about them in a second. And then the Thunder and the Suns played in an awesome game. SGA at 35-8-9. Brad Beal chucked in 31-6. And the Suns made a big, big, big comeback in the second half. And the Thunder went, ah, that's cute. Piss off, old man. It was awesome. Thunder now on top of the West, which leads us very nicely into weekend winners and losers.
Oh, my God. I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is
me. Kent Brockman. All right, weekend winners and losers. Very clearly, the Boston Celtics are weekend winners because they're plus 22 point differential over the last 11 games. That's the biggest ever in NBA history over an 11-game stretch. Their entire scoring differential is the fifth highest in NBA history, behind the 71-72 Lakers, the 70-71 Bucks, the 95-96 Bulls, might have heard of that team, and the 16-17 Warriors, also pretty bloody good. Only 6 teams have ever gone for plus 11 in scoring differential, and only 13 have actually gone 10 for a full season. So, yeah, I guess you could say Boston are playing pretty all right. I mean, they just demolished the Warriors by 1 million points. It's pretty good. But, yeah, they've won 11 straight. They're playing the best basketball in the NBA right now. They look crazy. The weirdest part is, like, what happens when they, you know, run into teams in the playoffs? We don't know. But at the same time, if you're going to go out there and just win 60 games, it might not matter. They're 48-12. They've won 11 on the trot. Their point differential is 11.4. They're 29-3 at home. It's just silly. It's just silly. Going out west, OKC. We just talked about them. They just cleaned up the floor with the Suns. It was an amazingly fun game. The way they dealt with that Suns comeback was really indicative of just how tough and good this team is. Like, they went, ah, that's cute. Now I'm just going to sick dort on you. But they were also sort of doubling KD early and going, all right, Brad Beal, you go and beat us. He's like, I can't do that. I'm Brad Beal. And KD was like, this sucks. He went 6 of 15 for his 20 points, but he had 5 turnovers and 3 assists. Forcing the ball out of his hand was pretty smart. Grayson Allen had a great flop late on SGA, which led to one of just those classic NBA moments where you're like, all right, we're going to check that foul for a hostile act. And it's like, wait a minute. SGA was going into his shot and fucking barely grazed Grayson Allen. Look, to be fair, one of my Outback Takehouses is you can't actually foul Grayson Allen. Everything should be legal. Anything you can do should be legal against Grayson Allen. He has the most punchable face in the NBA. Just look at him. We can't let him get away with this. And so have at it. And then so they check it for a hostile act and go, nah, it's just an offensive foul. Completely ignoring the fact that he doesn't fucking touch him and he's in his normal shooting action. So OKC then go, hang on. We're going to fucking review that, you idiots. And they're like, yeah, sorry. That's no foul. We'll give you this ball back, eh? You keep your time out. So the refs checked it, went, oh, yeah, no hostile act, but we might have fucked the call. And then OKC had to burn a challenge to do that. It's like, this is, you're taking the fucking piss at this point. So anyway, crazy good though, the Thunder. They look awesome. There's just like little moments in games where you're like, oh, tiny hint of a breakdown by the Suns. And you're like, oh, wait, no, they're out in transition in the game. Well, oh, God damn it. Like, you just don't have time to breathe or think sometimes against the Thunder. They've just got these young dudes who are just absolutely unstoppable and just never, ever slow down. It's just the whimsy of youth. Isn't it great? 14-9 for Chet in that game, 22 for J-Dub. Giddy, look, he only played 19 minutes because, yeah, you know, his limitations are definitely coming to the fore, but he hit 2 of 4 from downtown. He had 10, 2, and 2, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Like, not bad. And just also was getting eaten up. Nurk in that game was incredible. I'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, Denver, also a really good win over the Lakers on the weekend, right? 8 straight over LA now. They just love kicking the crap out of the Lakers, but they've also won 6 in a row in general. And when you got Jamal Murray coming back from a ankle sprain, like a day or two before, and he's like, nah, boys, I'm out here. I'm going to have a crack at these Lakers dudes with you. And that's awesome. Like, that's a championship team. Michael Porter Jr. going perfect from the field, also ridiculous. But Denver, it's just like, yeah, if they're healthy, no one is better than that starting five. Like, just try and beat it. Aaron Gordon, it's like a cheat code. Just Joker's like, I'm going to shoot or pass the ball when you're on the wing, cut baseline, and you'll just get a layup, alley-oop, whatever, each time. You're like, yeah, checks out. The Bucks, they've now won 5 on the trot. They took care of business over the weekend, did the Buckaroos. That was a really, really good win over, look, yes, a very mediocre Chicago Bulls. But they're now 40-21. The 5 on the trot, it was the Wolves, it was the Sixers without Embiid, 2 wins over the Hornets and a Bulls team. They, however, play the Clippers tomorrow, which is awesome. Then they play the Warriors, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Kings. That is an awesomely fun 4-game stretch this week. Like, until we get to my favorite day of the year, aka 3-11 day, it's going to be chaos. That's the next 3 days. Well, the next 3 games. Warriors, Lakers, Clippers. Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Clippers, then Kings. So that's a 5-game stretch. Jeez. Jeez, Jim, learn how to count and read. Then they also have the Sixers, the Suns, and the Celtics. Yeesh. Then the Thunder and the Lakers, the Pelicans, Hawks, Wizards, Grizzlies, Raptors, Knicks, Celtics, Magic, Thunder, Magic. Wow. It's going to be a bit of a rough one for the Bucks, but they're still very good. Anyway, you'll take that. Good weekend win. 5 straight wins. Can't complain. Brooklyn, bang! Back-to-back wins over Atlanta, as I mentioned on Friday's show, makes the race for the number 10 spot in the East at least vaguely interesting, because it looked like it was all over Red Rover. Trae Young goes out hurt. Now you've got the Nets only 2 games back of Atlanta, having just won both of those back-to-back. Maybe sort of helped get their sort of heads in the right spot. But the Nets, look, I've talked about them before. They are brutal to watch. They stink. But they then play the Grizzlies and the Sixers and the Pistons and the Hornets in their next four. If they could win all four of those, it is on like Kong for that 10 spot in the East. And then we will have one of the most boring play-ins you'll ever see, where it's Bucks, Bulls, Nets. And you're like, ah, what would you rather do? Watch that game or just punch yourself in the dick? I'm just saying. Anyway, other winners. Who else have we got? Orlando, the Magic Men. Oh, geez, Jim, they just beat the Pistons. Yeah, but it was the way they beat them. They didn't screw around. They've now won 3 on the trot. They've beaten the Nets, the Jazz, and the Pistons. But I don't know, Paolo Banchero just didn't screw around, and they just beat the hell out of them, which is always really nice to see. Don't screw around, Magic. This is a team that loves to sort of screw around. They didn't this time. And it's like 3 straight games where they're just like, yeah, we're the better team. Let's kick the crap out of these guys. And they did the damn thing. So you love to see that. Good job by the Magic Men. Other ones, we had the Clippers. They just snuck past the Wolves, but they've got Paul George back. A couple of wins just to keep it rolling. And essentially just to sort of keep themselves right there in the top picture, right, of the East. Like, it's always going to get really, really squirrely as you get towards the pointy end of the season. And like the Clippers had that sort of swoon. This was just righting the ship a little bit. They're still because of that swoon though, they're 2 games back, like the Clippers are the Nuggets in the 3 spot. So they're sort of just by themselves in the 4. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of like, that's fine by us. Because whoever lands in the 5, we feel pretty good about it. Like the Pelicans, the Kings, the Suns, the Mavs, all of those would be really fun series as well. But of course, there's only like 2 games splitting all 4 of those teams anyway. So it's amazing that the Pels are in the spot there. Speaking of which, the Pelicans, they had a big win the other day. They needed it too. Like, they more than anything just sort of need Spindles to roll and just go on one of his runs. Spindles Ingram has these moments where he just goes, you know what, I'm pretty good. Just like goes for a month where he averages like 29 points, like a 29-6-6 for a month. So let's see that happen again. And the other winners, of course, LeBron James, 40,000 points. It was pretty bloody good, wasn't it? It was pretty impressive. It was awesome to see all the folks there getting around it. And it's just that moment where it's like, yeah, of course he's setting a record every time he scores a point, but 40,000 is just such a nice round number that you go, bloody hell. Like, obviously no one else has scored 40,000 points because he's the leading scorer in NBA history. But that's also the craziest part about it. For years and years and years, like, no one ever sort of thought of LeBron as a scorer. He just sort of scored almost as by virtue of just being out on the floor. It was kind of everything else that he did. And now he's kind of like out there just like going, well, longevity combined with being awesome means I've scored 40,000 points. 40,017 to be exact after I had 26 in that game. So it was pretty good. But it was very fun. And I love a bit of LeBron. I think he's fantastic. He's a bit of a flog. But the dude is an incredible basketball player. So, amazingly though, it was awesome because he lost that game. Just saying. It was pretty good. Yeah, I had a bit of a chuckle, don't you? What about weekend losers?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser. Losers. The Knicks. They were awesome today. Don't get me wrong, in beating the Cavs, who I'm going to talk about again in a second. But everything of their entire season now hinges on just how bad that Action Brunson injury is, right? Their entire season hinges on the Action Brunson injury. The non-contact aspect of it where it's like knock knees, hopefully he's all right, but yeesh, just seeing him hit the floor and not be able to walk, you're like, come on, man. But as long as the x-rays are negative, fingers crossed for him, fingers crossed for the Knicks, because like to lose OG, to lose Randall, to lose the other Mitch Robinson, to net like lose Brunson as well, like what are we doing? Yes, you might just go, well, geez, Jim, isn't that just some James Dolan karma? And you'd be right. But at the same time, the Knicks were really fun. And it's like the one team that you can see if they're healthy and firing going into these playoffs would put the fear of God into everybody. Dallas, what the hell was that? I will ask you that.
What was that? What the hell was that?
Well, Willie Booty, can't lose to Tobias Harris, Dallas. What are you doing? He's a never nude. It was brutal. And so was the loss to Boston. Like, every time the Mavs go, we're not playing bad, they then stink up the joint. I think this is like, you just can't trust them. They look awesome. They look fun. They look unbeatable. They'll win six games in a row or something. You're like, wow, here comes to, oh, no, they've lost to Philly without Embiid. Pack her up. Can't trust him. Not going to trust him. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, still shame on me. Keep fooling me, shame on me, because I'm an idiot to ever trust the goddamn Dallas Mavericks, a.k.a. the Alice Mavericks, no D. Cavs, same vibe. This was a statement loss to the Knickerbockers. You can't lose to the Knickerbockers, even though you don't have Donny Mitchell. When they lose Brunson in the first minute, they're missing half their team anyway. Cleveland, what are you doing?
Cleveland,
this is for you. That was a statement loss where you're just like, yeah, I don't care how good the Cavs have looked this season. If they're going to lose games like that, not going to trust them. Again, we're going to stick with this vibe. Minnesota, same bloody thing. It's like, if you're not going to have 62 points in a loss like Cat did, you're going to have games like this where you completely don't know your ass from your elbow and go, hey, so what, how many points do we need to score to tie this up? Three? Yeah, cool. Oh, let's just screw around and get a two. Like, what is Chris Finch doing? Get your head out your ass and call a timeout to set it up again. Jesus. But they lost to the Kings. They were humbled by the Kings in that game on the weekend. And then they lose to the Clippers as well in just stupid fashion. You're like, same old Wolves. The thing is, they'll probably go out and beat the Blazers and the Pacers now, and maybe even the Cavs. They then have a Lakers-Clippers back-to-back, and then a couple of games against the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Cavs again. It's a weird run home for the Wolves. They'll probably be fine. They'll finish in the top three, but geez, especially the way they got a game against the Wizards and the Hawks in there, but there are some tough ones. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Wolves bounce back. Thing is, we bring this up time and time again. They do have these moments where they look just like complete dog shit, absolute dog shit. Then they bounce back and go, hang on a second, we look dominant because we've got all the tall dudes. And you're like, yeah, you can't argue that. Tall dudes and having lots of them can sometimes be an advantage when playing basketball. Indy, two tough losses. Getting smoked by Wemby and the Spurs. That was just embarrassing. Halliburton has been horrible these last two games. He's going to pop up again in a second, but ouch. Like, Indy were right there. So the Heat had their win over Utah. Good stuff. But the Pacers, had they just won one of these last two games where they've just completely given up the ghost against the Pelicans and then the Spurs, then now one game back of the Heat in the eighth spot, right? The Magic cruising along, three straight wins. The Sixers are still wildly vulnerable. And the Knicks just keep losing dudes. The Pacers, this was your chance. You are now two games back, basically, of the Magic and the Sixers to get in the sixth spot. There was two losses they could not afford on this weekend. And, of course, the other loser is Tony Brothers. Hey, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, DeJounte Murray. And he's like, shut up, nerd. That's a tech foul. Tony Brothers basically chases DeJounte Murray to the bench to yell at him. It's a ref. This is a ref chasing a player who's walking to the bench and sitting down and trying to listen to his team, ignores the ref, and Tony Brothers tees him up. You're taking the piss, Tony Brothers. Blow it out your ass. All right, let's do an NBA Australia pre-performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Well, Giannis's 46, 16, and 6 was pretty good. Watch out, Mike Dunleavy. Pretty crazy gear from Giannis. It was against the Bulls. They don't have anybody. Patch Williams is out. It's like, cool, you beat Kobe White, you know? We're being defended by Alex Caruso. Giannis is like, I'm a foot and a half taller than Alex Caruso. Michael Porter Jr. against the Lakers. I mentioned this one earlier. 10 of 10 from the floor, 5 of 5 from 3, 25 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. I'm like, yeah, 10 assists, Michael Porter Jr. Good one, Jim. 4 assists. That's actually pretty remarkable. Awesome game. He was fantastic in that. Absolutely laced everything. And when the Lakers were sort of pushing, MPJ was just sort of always there as a release valve for the Joker. And, of course, Aaron Gordon hit that massive three in that game that sort of broke the levy. But anyway, Josh Hart's 13, 19, and 10 triple-doubles, incredible. He's the third Nick ever to have 13, 19, and 10 in a single game. But this one's, it's got to go to Wemby. He was ridiculous against the Pacers. 31 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 blocks, 11 of 17 from the floor, 3 of 4 from downtown. Absolutely brutal gear. Three players have ever had a 30, 10, 5, and 5 as a rookie. The Admiral, Tim Duncan, and Victor Wembanyama. What do they all have in common? They're all bloody San Antonio Spurs! That's one! That's ridiculous. Wemby was just swallowing shots up like me at the pub. Just go, bang! What's this one? Fireball, let's go, bang! You know, oh, give me some of that sweet, sweet fireball. But jeez, he was absolutely demolishing dudes on that indie team, and they didn't have any clue what was happening. Like, oh yeah, right, he's 7'40". How am I meant to shoot this over him? The answer is, you can't! Sucked in, dickheads! Spot of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Hey, kid, want to see a dead body? Steph Curry! 2 of 13 shooting, 0 of 9 from downtown. Now, you might remember a little stat that I threw out there during this season already, right? Where it's like Steph Curry missing threes, like going over from the floor. He hadn't done it in like multiple times, basically in a game, multiple times in a season for the last 6 years. And he'd hit like 500 straight games or whatever it was with a made three. And yeah, now he's done it three times. So is he a bit cooked? What do you reckon? Might be a bit cooked. Might be just a bit cooked. Bit of Steph Curry, bit cooked. Like, seriously, like, obviously he's awesome. He looked gassed in that game too. He's like, dude, I've been carrying this goddamn team. But wow, 2 of 13 was pretty brutal. Didn't go in again after he's 16 minutes early. We had Bones, George Niang, Malik Beasley, Jarrett Gotherfrow-Allen, Tyus Jones, all go 1 of 7. We had a 1-8 outing for Marcus Sasser and Tim Hardaway. The lesser 1-9 for Big Booty Kyle Lowry today. For the Sixers, they still got the win. 4 of 18 for Dame Lillard, who just seems so sad. Every time they like bring up anything about Milwaukee, he's like, yeah, it's great to be here. Nah, it is. Yeah, nah, I really like you, Giannis, and hanging out with the bloke who's Greek. definitely wouldn't rather be in Miami. Keep an eye on that this offseason. 2 of 11 for Ant-Man the other day as well. But Tyrese Halliburton, I mentioned this earlier, 0 of 7 from the floor in their loss to the Pelicans. 0 of 6 from 3. He then went 4 of 16 today. Brutal. Naz Reid went 0 of 7, but we would like to thank James Harden. He just made the board, the spud board. So we've had the worst shooting performances so far this season. 0 of 12 for Aaron Gordon against Houston. 0 of 12 for Big Deke Bay, Cam Thomas, 0 of 11. Harden is now third with the 0 of 10, tying T-Man and George Niang. Pretty remarkable gear. 0 of 10 is just like, bro, what are you doing? 0 of 6 from 3, 4 points, all came on free throws. He did have 10 assists, but he had 5 rebounds, 1 turnover. 0 of 10 is brutal. But most importantly, thank you and welcome back Paul George, Emmanuel Quickley, both of who shot the magic number from 3, and Jaden Ivey, who just did it from the floor because they all went and shot.
Have you ever made out in Doc Holway?
This place, I kissed, I made
your day. Woo! Yeah! They all shot 3-11. Don't you just love it? I do. Who's old mate no mates?
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate
no mates.
Old mate no mates. Old mate no mates. Who's got no mates today? That'd be DeJounte Murray for not talking to the ref. I mean, maybe it's just Tony Brothers. Yeah, Tony Brothers doesn't have mates. Like, DeJounte Murray is just, like, blanking you, bro. Like, don't tech him, man. What are you doing, you idiot? You're just going off your bloody rocker, mate. Not talking to the ref. It's like, what's that foul for? Seriously, Tony Brothers, get a mate. He's not talking to me. You should be friends with me. Thomas Bryant, copping strays all the way during LeBron's 40,000-point moment because he was calling for the ball when LeBron went past Kareem for the all-time scoring record. There is the famous photo of Thomas Bryant going, no, 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 pass it to me. I'm open. And LeBron's like, you what? You idiot. So Thomas Bryant just copping strays all weekend. Pretty funny to see. Pantsing of the night. Anybody who tried to shoot against Victor Wembanyama today got pants. But also, there was a great one. Deuce McBride absolutely snapped Evan Mobley in half. And you better believe that's a pantsing. Who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Just saying, it's a bit weird that pick number 17 in the 2018 draft, as well as pick number 33 in that same draft. Pick 30 in the, well, you could actually say Josh Hart. He was in that same Lonzo draft, right? Pretty remarkable gear that it's like the 2017 draft gave us so many weird, bizarre, awesome players. But look, Dante DiVincenzo. So Lonzo goes second in 17. As I mentioned, a year later, Dante DiVincenzo goes a bit later. Today, Dante DiVincenzo went 11-22 from the floor. 6-14 from three. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. It was really awesome. He was fantastic. And then Josh Hart had the triple-double. That was awesome. 13, 19, and 10. Both selected substantially after Lonzo Ball, and therefore both today better than Lonzo Ball. Do we have everyone's favorite segment ready now? Let's do it. It's time for, I believe. Yeah, do you believe? Congratulations to LeBron James for being the first and only player in NBA history to score 40,000 points. I'm so glad I was there to witness such an incredible feat at King James. He goes on. I love that I'm here tonight. I got to see when LeBron broke Kareem's record and the fact that I was the one who passed it to Kareem when he originally set the record. Now we need the Lakers to pull out a victory to make the night even bigger and better for LeBron. What do we say? They lost, and also, thanks, Magic. Finally, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
Ken, a couple of teens broke into the Clippers arena and wrecked some havoc for a bit of TikTok. They're not the dickheads, because I thought that was pretty fucking funny. The dickheads are the Clippers. What are you doing? Where's your security, you idiots? Oh, bro, we're just going to build this big fucking $2 billion arena. And they got fucking Sleepy Joe over there in the corner, just falling asleep, watching other games, letting teens jump in and shoot hoops. So, I don't know. Check the fucking monitors. What are you doing? Amazing work. Great job, Clippers. Just organizational standards through the roof. System Yenars right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
Alright, let's do this. Some Yeah Nahs brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch.
People!
Get your merch.
Wear it!
Get your merch.
Yeah, do it. Get your merch. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Of course, don't forget to go subscribe on the YouTube as well. You can see me do all these shows now. It's going to be good. Should probably live stream them, actually. That'd be way fun. Maybe I should do that. Anyway, let's do it. Zachy Boo! Tatum leads the best team in the NBA in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. I feel like he deserves some more praise for what he's been doing this season. Yeah, nah, Zachy Boo. I've been yelling about Tatum being in the top five for MVP all year. But he has been really, really good. I think where it does hurt him, though, we say time and time again, oh, it's a regular season award. And it's like, yeah, then you see Jokic just punished for, like, not doing it in the playoffs, as we saw last year, right? doesn't it feel like Tatum won't win an MVP until they've at least made another finals? Right? Because even though he's the best player in the NBA, the best player on the best team in the NBA, it doesn't feel like the narrative's going to swing his way enough. Considering, I mean, one of his teammates is like the highest paid player going, basically. He's got the biggest contract in the NBA history. And Tatum sort of just cruising along, crushing it, looking better and better each game. He does deserve more praise for how good he's been. But as I've said time and time again, I think he also suffers from having too nice of a face. He's too pretty. Like, I want to be the face of the NBA. Yeah, but no one's afraid of you. Right? I feel like you need to strike fear at least into people a little bit. Tatum, I mean, Miami fans are like, yeah, that's cute. Yes, I'm definitely very, like Jimmy Butler's like, I'm not afraid of you. Whatever. Kind of dig it. Zachy B also goes on to say, also Luke is averaging 25-5 in the first half of his games this season. Him not being top three in the MVP race is criminal. Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, I've got him top three. I've had him top three the entire time. It's like, it's been SGA, Luka, and then either Embiid early on, and then now it's Joker. So SGA, Luka, Joker, in whatever order you want to put him in. I'd probably still have it SGA, Joker, and Luka at this point. Especially with Joker being able to make a bit of a push. But SGA's been fucking incredible. He's going to pop up again later too as well. But it's a good one. Luka is like, what he's doing is absurd. I've got him on my fantasy team. And I love, like, there is nothing more fun in fantasy than having like Joker or Luka. Because they just put up absurd stat lines every game. And you're like, this is great. This is just awesome. Like, it is so much fun having one of those dudes in fantasy. Because it'd be like some absurd stat line where you're like, oh, and also he hit 6 threes. Like, it's 35, 16, and 14. You're like, radical. Like, it's great. One from, Matty G. Yeah, nah, the Hawks can get stuff for only waving for... For waving Aussie fucking legend Patty Mills the day before playoff eligibility date. P.S. Pickleball at the Minor Dome would be awesome back in the day. The pickleball at the Minor Dome idea that I talked about the other day with Patty Mills owning it. Like NBA Australia launching its own pickleball team and like dominating the Minor Dome would be pretty fun. Just saying. But maybe I'll sponsor a team. It'd be good. But at least the Hawks can get stuff. But Matty makes a good point. They at least did him a solid and waived him before the playoff eligibility date, right? As long as you were waived before March 1, you're good to sign somewhere else and still be all laughing. So, yeah, it's the only solid they did him, I reckon. Knicks are cooked without Brunson. Yeah, nah. Oh, yeah. He's like, his on-off numbers are chaos. It's like an 8-point differential on-off for Brunson. He's that important to the Knickerbockers. So hopefully he comes back soon. And then Matty B on the Tony Brothers stuff. Hey, Jim, what the fuck was that bullshit with Tony Brothers tech on DeJounte? Some of these refs are way, his emphasis, too sensitive. Surely the art of reffing is about getting the job without making it about them. They should be in the background, not front and center constantly. These motherfuckers are getting paid too well for this garbage to occur. 100% fine the refs for dumbass decisions. You know where I sit on this. Yeah, nah, yeah.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
It's not so much the unpopular opinion of the day because I think most people agree with me, but god damn it, fine. The refs. Don't make me tap the sign because we're going to do Outback Takeout about it as well. It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah. Well, over the weekend, the squids and I got a bit, I don't know, creative. Wandered outside with the cricket bats early in the morning. You hear the... Bang, bang, bang. That's right. Chuck them in the freezer. Rainbow lorikeets suddenly turned into rainbow paddle pops. That's right. It's a delicious dessert only at Outback because we killed some native flora and fauna, apparently, and then froze it for an ice cream only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is don't make me tap the fucking sign. Fine. The refs. If you get a tech rescinded, $10,000 out your pay packet. Simple as that, refs. Oh, it's a hard job. No, it's not. Not when you're chasing down a player and then when he ignores you giving him a fucking technical foul, blow it out your ass, Tony Brothers. $10,000, boom. Let's see you do it again after that happens. I don't fucking think so, mate. Let's see a little bit more transparency from the NBA and the refs as to why this shit happens. Interestingly as well, you need to be a little bit more fucking transparent with this shit, NBA, as the vice president of common fucking sense, Adam. I'm just saying, if you're going to partner with betting companies, you have to be a little bit more fucking transparent about how your refs are going. You can't have them chasing down players to give them a tech if he gets tossed. What's the fucking reasoning? You need this shit to be fucking completely above board, or else it gets very fucking squirrely very fucking quickly. Fine the refs for their fuck-ups. Only at Outback. 10 grand for every rescinded tech foul seems fair. All right. Very brief. Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. No Ben Simmons, Box Hill Benny, over the last couple of games against the Hawks. Obviously resting out that left leg, which was injured. Was it the Memphis game? Where he sort of came back, played that, and then sat out again. Josh Giddeup against the Suns today. As mentioned, the 10 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals effort. Very nice. Only in 19 minutes, though. 4 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from downtown. It was a bit of a weird one. It came after 18 minutes against the Spurs, and you're like, are they just sort of phasing Giddy out of the rotation a little bit, even though he's still starting? He hasn't played more than 27 minutes since the start of February, when he played 41 in the double overtime win over the Raptors. At the same time, Giddy's such a good kid, as long as they're winning, I don't feel like he's giving too much of a shit, so he's not going to arc up. Maybe should a little bit. Just saying. Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, jock'em, Landale against his old team. So you might remember he had a season high the other day, 8 points, 6 rebounds back on Friday against the Suns. Played him again. Played 11 minutes again. This time, not quite as good. 0 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Only took 1 shot. 0 of 1. They did win that game, though. So that's nice. I mentioned that Paddy Thrills hasn't glommed on with anybody, which is a bit of a shame. But we do have still, obviously, Jingling Joe Ingles down there in the Magics. He played the Detroit Basketball Pistons today. 16 minutes, 1 of 4 from the floor. Oh, 2 from 3. 2 assists and a steal to go 2 points. I still reckon the Magic should go get Patty. Get a bit of veteran leadership in there next to Jingles. Turn him into the Orlando Boomers. It's what it's all about. Old dudes going south for the winter. Down to Florida. Let's do it. Josh Green and Grant had a rough weekend. 1 of 5 against the Celtics in that loss. 0 of 2 from 3. He had 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And then in the loss to the Sixers today, he shot 3 of 6, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. 7 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal in 20 minutes. It wasn't great. He had 2 turnovers as well, which weren't very pretty. I'll tell you a dude who did have a really, really good game on the weekend. I mean, well, first we'll talk about Dante Exum. set myself up there. Dante, he had the same games as your man Josh Greeny Green. Boston, 15 minutes, he went 1 of 5 from the floor, had 4 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. 1 foul, he went 0 of 1 from downtown. And then in the loss to Philly, it was just absolutely MIA. 8 minutes, he had 1 point, 1 turnover, and went 1 of 2 of the line. That was it. So, yeah, it wasn't great, I'll tell you. Anyway, how about Aussie Matty T in those 2 games against the Grizzlies? He had 13, 3, and 2 with 3 steals on Saturday. Shot 5 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3. And then on Sunday, 2 points, 2 steals, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls. He had 4 turnovers, actually, in that Saturday game, too. 1 of 5 shooting, 0 of 3 on Sunday. I'll tell you who was good, though. The Grim Reaper. That's right, the Rim Reaper. Just out there. The Great Barrier Reef. He started in that Saturday game. He had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals and 2 blocks. Shot 8 of 16, 2 of 8 from 3. It's bloody good. They kicked the shit out of the Grizzlies that game. Love to see it. On you, doo-wop. Doo-wop, bop, bop, doo-wop. Chin it out, bop, doo-wop. He's gone back-to-back games of double figures, though, as well against the Grizzlies. He had 12, 6 and 3 blocks with an assist on the Sunday game as well, as they won both 5-9 from the floor. This time, 1-4 from downtown. Love to see it. He's had a couple of times going back-to-back double figures this season. You love to see it. Should be at least in the all-rookie second bloody team, if you ask me. Did anyone ask you, Jim? No, but they bloody well should have. I tell you. You're not wrong. Anyway, there you go. Good job by Duop. All right, quick Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. It's the
first and you won the Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 35 points today, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 stocks, that's steals and blocks. He's had 8 straight 30-point games. Absolutely ridiculous. Also, Yusuf Nurkic in the loss today against SGA. He had 14 points. He had 31 rebounds! 31! It's a franchise record. It was a team high, plus 10 in a game they lost. And it's like, come on, man. Nurkic with the 30... It was the first 30-rebound game since Enes the Penis Freedom... That fucking dipshit is out there tweeting, oh, yeah, integrity is greater than 40,000 points. What a fucking lunatic. It's the third person in the last decade to have 30-plus rebounds. Enes did it. Dwight did it. The last player to have 31-plus rebounds in under 40 minutes, though, was Robert Parrish, the Chief, back in 1979. Amazing. But 13 offensive rebounds, 18 defensive rebounds. He's the first player with that many offensive boards and defensive boards since Charles Oakley in 1988. Bloody hell, that's pretty bloody good. Can play a bit, can play. All right, let's do the Cam Air Bairstow, great moment in NBA Australia stat history, because it is a pretty incredible moment. It's a bit sad to think about it, actually, now that I think about it.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
NBA Australia, never forget. It might seem like yesterday, but it's now been 8 long years since Cam Air Bairstow gracefully tied back the flowing flaxen locks that would have made him the best looking Sheila in Adelaide, pulled on his number 41 Chicago Bulls jersey and played the best ever game of his NBA career. Which, in a cruel twist of fate, also happened to be his last ever NBA game. God damn, Bulls, that's colder than a Ballarat winter. Anyway, in only his second ever NBA start, the Runcorn Rampage had pulled him on next to a knees made of putty, Derrick Rose, and the sketchy Spaniard himself, Pau Gasol, and proceeded to lay an almighty smackdown on the Orlando Magic team, more hapless in the road of the Airstow's onslaught than the Windies facing Glenn McGrath back in 95. In only 10 minutes, Airstow played like Charles Barkley mixed with a cheater and scored career-high 8 points, shooting 4 or 5 from the field in a display that onlookers who were there called dazzling, brutally effective, the second coming of Carmelo, and the most impressed I've ever been since I saw David Boone sink 8 pints of Bogues in 8 minutes in a Lawny pub. And not content with setting a career high in points, the big banana bender put down his Bundy and Goke and also grabbed 2 rebounds. It was so smooth that Derek Rose later probably got brought up on charges for trying to root him. Still, despite the golden child of Australian basketball going absolutely spared, the Magic held on for a hard-fought 13-point win. And that would be the very last time that Airstow would grace an NBA court. The fact that he had his best ever NBA game and his last ever NBA game is sketchier and more cooked than Don Burke on the Pingers. Oh well, hopefully Airstow's off knocking back some frost, looking after that bulky knee of his that he buggered while ripping stray with the Boomers and living his best life. Cause on ya, Cam Air Bairstow, aka Airstow. What a legend. What a moment in NBA Australia stat history. I was like, oh, maybe I could actually bump that to tomorrow, but I just love it. Just love it. Alright, let's do a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Got late today. Jeez, I'm starving. We got a Jock Landau one. Here we go. Just pictures of him in the Rockets uniform having a bit of a roar. Love it when he goes like a bit of a rah. Those Rockets uniforms look quite clean. Just the red on white. A lot cleaner than other times. I don't mind the shorts too. It does mean that there's no sort of break in the middle, but looks good. So on you, Jock. What about Patty? Has he done anything since he got cut? That's going to be the big question for me. And no, he hasn't. That's a tough one. All right, let's do some game previews, though.
Game previews! Game previews!
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Oh, yeah, not bad. Yeah, I don't know. Just a shit one at work. It's just fucked. constantly. And, yeah. What's going on with my picks? There we go. On Friday, so on Saturday, we went, I think, 4-for-9 against the spread. It was a bit of a brutal one because, yeah, Indy just completely cooked it. Minnesota cooked it against the Kings. Dallas did not put up a fight against Boston. Philly couldn't cover against Charlotte. Detroit missed off covering against Cleveland by a half point. Did pretty good against the, in the old head-to-heads though, across the weekend. We went 3-of-5 on Sunday and then 4-of-8 today. Jeez. Rough one. Tomorrow, we've got Memphis at Brooklyn. I'm going to take the Nets -8.5. They should be too good for the Grizzlies. We just saw the Grizzlies get smoked at home. Back-to-back games by the Blazers. So Brooklyn should be a little bit too good, especially as they have a chance to really make up a little bit of room and a little bit of ground on that Atlanta team. So let's go Nets -8.5. We've seen Mikal Bridges get into a bit of a groove. So here you go. Milwaukee, they take on the Clippers tomorrow. The Bucks are 5.5-point favorites against the Clippers. The Clippers just played a really tough game against the Wolves. They then go over to the Milwaukee. So they go from Minneapolis to Milwaukee. I like the Bucks -5.5. It's going to be really hard on a back-to-back for the Clippers and all those old bones. Paul George maybe sits. Kawhi might be rested. Who knows? Let's go the Bucks -5.5. Portland, I just mentioned those. They take on Minnesota. The Wolves were a bit of a mess. I actually don't mind the Blazers to sort of cover this one. It's a 14.5-point line. And we've seen the Blazers actually win a couple of games, which is cooking, you know, their record up a little bit. They've won 17 games now, the Blazers, out of nowhere. They've probably got to stop winning because you don't want to fall out of the bottom. Well, that's this bottom five because Charlotte have actually lost 4 on the trot now too. Yeah, maybe I should add Blazers in the losers because they lost 2 to the Grizzlies, which has brought them a lot closer to the Grizzlies. But anyway, I like the Blazers to actually cover that one against the Wolves, who just, they do tend to bounce back, as I mentioned earlier, and lay a bit of a smackdown. But I will take Portland +14.5 just because that is a really big line. Like, it's really big. Really, really big. Washington, they go to Utah. The Jazz have been all over the shop. There's no Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markin in this one. I'm going to take Utah. I'm not going to take Utah. I'm going to take Washington +6.5 in Utah. Just because without Lowry, you know that Colin the Sex Man Sexton and Cole will step up, but the Wiz still have like a lot of talent and they are sort of, even though they've lost, what is it, like 14 games in a row. I think this one, they might even win this one outright. So 6.5-point underdogs. I'm going to take Washington +6.5. Sacramento take on the Bulls in the John Sammons Bowl. Yes, I love the good John Sammons Bowl. One of the forgotten trades ever. Sacramento -6.5 against the Bulls. I'll take that. You've got Vooch, who loves shredding up against Sacramento just because he and Sabonis will go hammer and tongs. But I do like the Kings to step up and beat the Bulls, especially at home. And fire the laser! And then we have Oklahoma City on a back-to-back in LA. I'm going to go the Lakers -1.5. At home against the Thunder. Just because, look, OKC on a back-to-back, I think this might be one of the games where the rest of the dudes sort of slip a little bit and the Lakers pull out a bit of a win as Anthony Davis runs roughshod over the top of Chet Holmgren or something. With the Lakers having not played since Sunday against Denver, they'll be out for blood, I reckon. So give me the Lakers -1.5. So 6 games tomorrow. We'll wrap all those up for you in tomorrow's show. Now, oi, don't forget, go check out YouTube and you can watch all these. That's right, we're doing all these on YouTube too. We're going to gussy them up. I'm going to do the stand-up shows at home as well. Just going to finagle the room a bit. But we are doing the stand-up shows from the studio. It's really fun, so go check it all out. It's a little bit more interactive. It's a little bit gym moving around, so if you don't mind just hanging out and watching it out, give us a look. But more than anything, just fucking subscribe to the YouTube, would you? Bump those numbers. But either way, we'll be back tomorrow with more NBA Australia, of course. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, YouTube. We're across all the socials. You know that. Get around NFL Australia with myself and Gaz as well. But more importantly, you can also get around me hosting the AFL Today show. So, if you like your footy, your Aussie rules is the game. AFL is not the sport. It's the league. AFL Today show. Go follow that on all the socials. You can see me popping up. I'll be hosting that. It's awesome. It's very fun. because footy's back. And yeah, so follow that across all the socials, YouTube, etc. That'll be up as a podcast this week, which will be really fun too. So check out all of our shows: Cricket Today, Football Today, AFL Today, NRL Today is coming down the pike too. Of course, all of those on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever app you're using on Android phone, check them all out. I'll give you a shout when AFL Today is up on the podcast. Get around the NBA Australia shop as well. Get a t-shirt. I'm wearing one today. This one's a bit of an old one. I've worn it the absolute fuck out. So I go get myself a new one. You can get a t-shirt, get a hoodie, get a stubby holder, get a coffee mug, whatever you need. I've got you covered. Check that out, nbaaustralia.com/shop, or just click on the socials. Big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats as well. Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shadow, Green, 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 and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear on NBA Australia. Check them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. That's it. We're going to close out with a quick deli review. What's deli reviewing? Napoleon. That's right. He saw Napoleon on the weekend. That'd be fun. So, deli reviews Napoleon, and we'll catch you tomorrow in tickets. It's NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosanna! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old mate Deli over here just swinging by from the latest pop culture review, eh? What I gotta tell you, look, you know, I should be probably focusing in on, like, the start of the NBA playoffs and shit this week, but, you know, a couple of weeks off, just fucking hanging out, chilling, sinking tins with the missus, just chilling, I'm making sure the squid's all good and stuff, and you're like, yeah, we can watch a movie at home. And the missus is like, fucking, how about that Napoleon prick? I'm like, what, that little fucking little bloke, the warmonger? The French bloke, and she's like, yeah, there's like a big movie about him. I'm like, fucking sure. Chucked it on, you're like, here we go. This bloke fucking loves rooting. He loves rooting more than anything. He loves war and rooting. Like, no spoilers, alerts, or nothing, but that bloke fucking loves rooting. I love rooting, but that dude fucking loves rooting. You know what I'm saying? Like, he loves a shag more than my mate Shagger back home in Maribor. And he got the name Shagger because he'd fucking shag anything that moved. Didn't matter what it was. He's just like, oh, fucking shag it. So, all right, Shagger, off you go. Even my mate Plugger, he'd fucking love a shag, but that bloke fucking loves shagging. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, it's pretty good. Like, what is it, Ridley Scott's? He's a pretty good filmmaker and whatever. And, like, you like, check this one out. He's like, fucking, look, it's some cannons and stuff. And, like, Napoleon. It's like a little French bugger. He fucking love just doing wars and stuff. And you're like, yeah. I reckon he did. So you've done pretty good there, Ridley's. It got a bit boring, I'll tell you. Like, I'm not going to lie. It was a bit boring at times, but yeah, it's a good movie. He did love rooting, though. So yeah. Anyway, so I'd probably give it about 18 out of 10 deli ones, like for the Napoleons, for all the rooting and the wars and stuff. So yeah, no spoilers or nothing, but yeah, Napoleon. He was a complicated bloke who loved rooting. All right, that's it for me for this week. We'll catch you next time. Later, fuckers. Deli out. Go United!